And you're very welcome to Ross FM 94.6, and you're welcome to the WOW show, World of Women. In the studio with me today, we have a very interesting guest. It's Karen Black, a serial entrepreneur, a philanthropist, and all-round great person. Karen, you're very, very welcome to the studio, and thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you, Susan. Thanks for having me.
You're more than welcome, Karen. Karen, I suppose I don't want to take up too much of your time, so I will start by asking you a few questions. Karen, can you tell me a little bit about where you grew up?
Yes, so I grew up in Johannesburg, South Africa. So that's basically where I grew up. Obviously, went to schools and colleges in other provinces, but yeah, I was born and grew up in Johannesburg.
And what was it like growing up in Johannesburg?
It was good. You know, we obviously, you know, as South Africans, you know, we have our challenges as a country, but obviously at that point, you know, you're young, so you don't. You know, you're not fully aware of all the political things that go on. But, yeah, I mean, let's stay away from politics. I think that's such a good...
well, as a child, certainly.
Yeah, so it was fine.
Oh, well, that's good. And what did you want to be as a child? What were your dreams?
Well, it's funny, but I actually at one point you know, in sort of junior school, if you want to call it that, I was actually very interested in being a model.
Oh, interesting. That's cool.
Yeah, so...
well, you do have the look for it.
On your perspective and everything changes.
So you started out wanting to be a model. And did you speak to your parents about this, and were they supportive of your goals at the time?
I think they were, you know, but as parents as well, you know, sometimes, you know, like kids will say, I want to do this and I want to do that. So you do get, you know, you don't always get taken 100% seriously because you're a kid. My parents were never like, you know, they were never like, oh, you have to be a doctor or you have to be a lawyer.
Oh, that's good.
You know, so they were never that way inclined.
Well, that was nice. Were you always of an entrepreneurial nature, or did that come later in life for you?
You know, I think yes, I was. I mean, you know, you don't know till much later. Some people develop the skill, you know, and they become entrepreneurial. They have the natural gift of the gab. Just referencing someone like Gary Vaynerchuk, for example, you know, he's the kind of person who would, you know, go and take plants from his neighbors and resell it back to them. So wasn't that kind of person, but my parents have always had their own businesses or been involved in entrepreneurial ventures. So
right.
I do think that it does stem from that.
Okay, so it's in the genes, kind of, in your own case, Karen.
Yes.
And so, when did you decide to actually work for yourself?
I decided to work for myself probably when I would say back in about 2005 or 2006, because I'd actually been. You know, I'd studied at Waterfront Theatre School in Cape Town, and, you know, I'd done a makeup artistry course and so on. And, you know, the thing is, as a student, you get very excited because you think, oh, I'm going to, you know, finish studying and I'm going to go get a job. And then you get a massive reality check because most companies or most people are like, well, you don't have experience. And it's like, well, how do you gain experience in an industry if you're waitressing, but you actually need to be somewhere else?
Yes.
So it was always a catch-22. And, you know, in South Africa, entrepreneurship is not, it's getting there, but it's not massively supported. Now you'll find that, you know, companies will take in, you know, people for a period of time to gain work experience because they're being forced to do so, because otherwise people would never get work. But I would say that after working for production company you know, over that period in terms of commercials, and just being a production assistant or a runner, you know, just to break into the industry. And then it was funny, I was actually watching an episode of Oprah Winfrey, and they were speaking when she still had Harper Productions. And basically they were talking about, you know, how people had started different businesses. Like one particular woman had fragrance nail varnish, right. And they had different people with different ideas.
Okay.
And then I realized that in the production side of casting, that there was a lot of challenges, because very often they would send the wrong height or the wrong hair color or the wrong demographic or whatever for auditions.
Okay.
And, you know, producers and directors end up wasting a lot of time, or even casting people.
Okay.
So I actually then said to my dad, well, you know, what if we came up with one centralized website whereby people looking for talent and talent looking for exposure could be found on one platform. So not to become an agent, because I have no desire to become an agent
okay.
or representative for those people, but just, you know, even if they have an agency, you know, the agents would have the details down there, so there's no ways of bypassing the actual agency.
Right.
So the agency does their job, but, you know, is to actually have this pool of talent.
Yes.
And initially the idea was to, you know, just to have actors and models, but the industry in South Africa is so small that, you know, to limit yourself. So we thought, well, why not, you know, put musicians, DJs, speakers.
Excellent.
You know, anybody that's
yeah.
got a talent. And, you know, and obviously it's above board. So that's kind of how Talent Finders came to, you know, came to life, really.
To,
yeah, exactly.
And did you set up Talent Finders by yourself, Karen, is that right?
Yeah, so, you know, it was myself and my father, you know, at the time. And
yeah.
then we did have other partners in terms of development, because, as you know, as an entrepreneur, when you don't have money, you have to hustle.
Yes.
you know, so we agreed with a company to partner if they would develop the website. So, you know, we've gone through a lot of growing pains and headaches and things.
But you're still there.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're still in that process, you know, and obviously, you know, trying to find an investor and somebody that sees the same vision, because I'm just one of those people that really believes in people, and I like to see people thrive and do well. And, you know, very often people who even want to get into the industry but don't know how,
yeah,
this would be a good platform. And also agencies that are looking for potential unrepresented talent could actually use this to source unrepresented
yes.
talent, to be able to actually say, you know, come join our agency, you'll be able to represent that talent. So there's no real downside for anybody.
Yeah, it's actually a win-win situation,
yeah.
really.
And the agencies that represent these people, you know, that list the talent, they're getting exposure as an agency, because very often, let's say I came to Ireland and I was trying to shoot a commercial.
Yeah.
You know, who's the reputable agent? No, yeah, unless you know, or you're going through a third party, and then it becomes, you know, complicated, and commissions, and everybody wants to get paid.
Yeah.
So, you know, often, which is fine, but very often people, you know, don't realize there's a limited budget, and, you know, they don't always have access to this kind of information, or how do you establish or get connected with those people?
Yes, I understand. So would you kind of be like a recruitment agency for actors and DJs and models? And
I mean, for me, I wouldn't say recruitment. I would say more just an online talent community that,
okay.
that connects, promotes, and educates talent. So part of the, you know, the next phase of what we want to do is create an education platform, because, you know, I've had meetings with people that have said, you know, it would be great. We've been to LA and, you know, they packed their bags from another country and they went to LA and they had no idea how the industry works in Los Angeles,
okay.
which is a very different you know, it's a very, they just have a very different way of, you know, of working. So people don't know, like, what the headshot should look like or what the, how to prepare for auditions or how to find an agent that's reputable.
Right.
So these are things that we definitely want to build in, and be able to help people, irrespective of whether it's LA or somewhere else. You
that's,
know,
that's excellent.
Because every market has its own... has its own way of doing things.
Yes, of course. I will touch on that again, Karen. I would like to discuss that with you in more detail. But just moving on to our next question here, who are your coaches? Do you have coaches? And do you feel it's important to have a coach?
I mean, I did have a coach. I've got more of a mentor, you know, and I actually, you know, look, I've had a lot of support from many different people. But, you know, I don't know. I think, you know, the coaching world is, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I just think you have to be very selective because, in my opinion, I feel like it's become oversaturated.
And yes.
You see on social media every day, I'm the next expert in, you know, financial freedom and how to make the next $1 million in the next 5 minutes. And everybody doesn't realize that it's pain. You know, and being an entrepreneur, you have to be willing to take pain.
Absolutely.
And I think that people say, like, you know, and project this glamorous image of, you know, champagne and fancy houses and fancy cars. But
it's not
reality,
like that.
That is not entrepreneurship.
No.
And anybody that is delusional enough to think, and I don't mean to sound crass, but I think that people are very delusional in their thinking, and they're not realistic, and they don't understand that you have to be willing to take a huge amount of pain.
Yes.
And you're going to have more headaches and more challenges than you are. But when you hit those good points or you hit those good moments, it's worth every ounce of the pain that you endure.
Absolutely.
And I'm not talking about physical. I'm talking about...
Yes, and I completely understand being an entrepreneur myself, Karen. But there are a lot of people out there and they do tend to believe in the get-rich-quick schemes.
Yeah.
And you and I and any other entrepreneur know that that's just not the case.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as you said, when you do hit the good moments and you do hit the good points, it is all worth it. But there is a lot of hard work involved and a lot of pain.
And also, I mean, I personally believe, like, if you take people like, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk, Simon Sinek, and you take some of these guys, you know, they're not, in my opinion, I think what they're doing is amazing. And I think that's why I have so much respect. And I mean, you often see, I do post a lot of their things. And that's because for them, they are not interested in upselling and more packages and all of this and read this next book and all of this. Because, you know, not everybody, and it's like Gary said, not everybody is cut out for this game. And,
absolutely.
You know, it doesn't make them any less of a person. It's
not at all.
But, he, you know, for me personally, you know, he's always talking about how he gives his information and how he gives his knowledge away for free. And I think that that's an awesome thing, because most of the time, and I've seen it so often, like even in South Africa, they bring out these big name speakers and they charge an absolute fortune to attend these seminars and these workshops. And those are not the people that need them. The people that need them is the startups and the entrepreneurs. And and those are the people that need them. And very often, those are the people that cannot afford to spend thousands of dollars or whatever currency that they're charging in. And this is why I feel like, I don't know, like, I mean, Gary will say, and I really take his word because he knows and he understands markets more than most, is that, you know, when the next big crash happens, it's going to wipe out a lot of this garbage.
Absolutely.
And you're going to see the real cream of the crop rise to the top. And I think that's just how it's going to work.
I'm glad we touched on this, Karen, because there, for a lot of people out there, and you know and I know as entrepreneurs, when you're starting off and you don't have money, and it is a struggle when you're trying to get your ideas out there and you're trying to get your business sorted out, there is a huge amount of information online for free. And there any question you can think of, if you type it into Google, for instance, or go onto YouTube, you will find videos for free. You will find coaches who are willing to. Now, you don't expect coaches to do stuff for free, but there are a huge amount of tips you can find online without having to go out and spend 10 or 20,000 euro or rands or whatever the currency is on coaching.
I mean, that's why I say, like, you know, the thing is the guys that really are on the game, in my opinion, are the people like the Richard Bransons or the Gary Vaynerchuks or the Oprah Winfrey.
Absolutely.
Because they've already made their money.
And they did it the hard way.
They make more money by trying to sell people programs and coaching that cost. I mean, look, we've done it. Like, we did it 2 years ago, you know. My mom and I, we did it 2 years ago, and my mom spent a fortune's worth of money. And when people ask me, like, what is it that you actually learned? And I obviously was really trying to get to the nitty gritty of, you know, pitch decks and things that are really important around, you know, trying to find investors or understand your business. And those are things that I was not coached on. And so people questioned the validity of why was all this money spent on stuff that you were supposed to be learning and nobody guided you. And the problem is this, is if you've never had a coach, you don't know what to expect.
Exactly.
So very often you're just going with what is being said. But at the end of the day, I personally believe that the guys that are making it big are the guys like Gary that have their company, which is the things that's making their money.
Yep.
And what they're doing is they're taking their knowledge and expertise from the experiences and giving it away for free. And
absolutely.
I think that is a more authentic and real way of doing it.
It is.
And not selling coaching
programs
for 8 months and then
thinking,
like, this is the holy grail to saving my business or making me millions of dollars. And most of these people just aren't making it because or they'll
Their
houses.
Karen, they're making it they're making it out of selling their programs.
Absolutely.
But they're not making it through a normal business operation, you know. So these guys are going out and it's a numbers game, basically. And they sell X amount of programs and they have the money then. And then they go and sell more programs under the guise that they're going to teach you how to operate a really successful business. But you touched on it there. The likes of Richard Branson, who is one of my personal favourite entrepreneurs, and I've met him. I read his autobiographies and he started the hard way. And he built himself up and he didn't actually have any money at all until he sold the Virgin Megastores and the banks were pulling the plug on him. And this is reality as life as an entrepreneur. You do get the banks knocking on your door and, you know, you just get a lucky break after working really hard and it can just go well for you, you know. But definitely the likes of Richard Branson and those guys who've worked and are giving it away for free, in my opinion, will be the best people to listen to regarding business advice. And I'm glad you mentioned that there, Karen, which leads on to my next question. Who do you most aspire to be like out of all the world's greatest entrepreneurs? I suppose you've answered that.
For me, my biggest icon, and I mean, you know, I know it's, look, there's male and females that I, you know, look up to, but for me, it's definitely Elon Musk.
Oh, yes, yes.
He's just, like, phenomenal beyond, you know, and I think the reason, I guess maybe I resonate in the sense, like, he is actually a South African, and he left South Africa and he went to Canada. And, you know, I've read his story and, you know, I follow him on what he's doing.
Yes.
And I think, you know, the biggest lesson that people can learn, you know, irrespective of your opinion of a person's character, I think for me, he's one of the greatest minds of our time, of our, you know.
Absolutely.
I think it's phenomenal just because it's for him. And I think this is what people need to realize is that it's about people making a difference and creating a bigger impact and changing the world.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what's important. And I think that's what he's doing.
He is.
That's what he's doing. He's got SpaceX to Tesla to the Boring Company to,
yes, he's unbelievable,
you know, to wanting, you know, to fly anywhere in the world for under an hour, like it, and you know, so who knows what's next.
Well hopefully we'll be able to fly.
To me he's like one of the greats.
Yes, he is, I have to agree. Incredible. Yes. Can you tell us a little bit about your philanthropy and your philanthropic endeavours? You do a lot of work for charity, and I believe that you actually help a lot of people. Can you talk a little bit about that, Karen?
Yes. So basically, I decided to start a non-profit some years ago in South Africa because a friend of mine was diagnosed in the transition period between two medical insurance companies. And because of that, got no financial assistance to pay for his cancer treatment.
Oh, gosh.
And I had tried, you know, the various things, golf days and this and that, but people are not that trusting if you're not a registered nonprofit.
Yes.
So I actually went about, and I had volunteered for other organizations. So I had a kind of idea of how a nonprofit works. So I volunteered for a Starfish Foundation, which was started by two or three South Africans back, you know, back home. But they were living in London at the time. So that's part of the reason why I started it. And then I started getting other families coming to me saying they were in a similar predicament. And, you know, in South Africa, we probably have one of the worst drug approval processes in the world.
Right.
And there's so many drugs that come out, you know, from the US and whatever. Yeah. But the approval process in some cases can be more than 8 years.
Crikey.
And that's not just with cancer drugs. I mean, that's with various drugs.
8 years.
It's crazy. So
wow.
By that time, there's umpteen other drugs on the market.
Yes.
But, you know. And anyway, so there was a young girl that needed a specific drug by a pharmaceutical company, which I won't mention. But they basically, you know, I'd had actually a number of lymphoma patients that actually were in need of this drug. The thing is, you could get the drug brought in, but you had to get permission by the medical council, and you literally had to pay for it because the medical insurance companies would not pay for it.
Okay.
So it's the same old story, you know, money, money, money. And so anyway, this girl, you know, look, we tried really hard, and I actually watched this girl die.
Oh, gosh, I'm sorry.
She could not get access to this drug.
Okay.
So there was definitely, you know, I felt compelled to help my friend, and that's how it started.
Right, okay.
And then, you know, I started getting other families and other people coming to me with similar scenarios where, you know, there's a shortfall on the medical insurance, and yeah, people just needed to pay and couldn't pay. And, you know, it's not like people have millions, you know, laying in the bank to pay for medication. And the other issue is that there's no guarantee it works. So even if you bring it in and you get treated, you know, it doesn't mean it's going to save your life. So, I mean, you know, and the rate of exchange with the currency in South Africa is so bad that, you know, things just turn out to be millions.
Okay.
Because it's just, yeah, it's just crazy. So I started that, and then I recently set up a nonprofit in the US as well.
Excellent.
And the idea behind that was to create a grant-based organization, and I really felt like the need was around healthcare, entrepreneurship, and endangered wildlife. So those were
excellent.
The three sectors that I decided to focus on.
And how is that going for you now, Karen?
No, I mean, it's going well. That one I've just recently set up. So, you know, I haven't... I'm still in the process. But I've managed to, in terms of South Africa, managed to help some people. But sadly, unfortunately, even with some of the drugs and whatever, a lot of these people passed on. So,
but if you can even help one person in the world, you've made a difference, Karen. You know, so I think the work that you're doing there is fantastic. Would you say that you have a good work-life balance?
You know, I don't know. I think in some ways, probably not, because I don't really think as an entrepreneur you ever really have work-life balance. because you have to put in the time, you have to put in the hours. There's no such thing as, you know,
chilling out,
vacation time. I mean, sure, there's times where you just have to take time out.
Yes.
And that's for sure. I mean, nobody is superhuman. and everybody has to. But in my opinion, no, not really. Because if you really want something bad enough and whatever, you have to put in the time, and
yes,
that requires
true.
Sacrifice. And you have to be willing to do it. If you're not willing to do it, then
forget
that's
about
your choice.
It.
No judgment, but that's your choice.
can you talk about the importance of personal branding and how it makes a big difference to businesses and people alike?
So personal branding, I mean, from the publicity perspective, you know, it's very important, and it lends credibility, but you also have to have a strong story. And I think that this is what people
don't
kind of
guess.
Fail to understand, because, you know, the thing is this, is that whether you feature in a Forbes or GQ or a Fortune or, you know, any top-level magazine within your own country or internationally, you know, you have to have a story. I mean, this is what it comes down to. I mean, if you look at all the greats, from Oprah Winfrey to Steve Jobs to J.K. Rowling to Elon Musk to all of these people, Gary, all of them, I mean, the whole thing is it's about the story. I mean, the companies speak for themselves, and they will generate the business and whatever that they need to generate. But the truth of the matter is, it comes down to your story.
Yes, of course.
And, you know, that is the biggest thing. So, you know, people will come to me and they want personal branding. They want editorial features or TV appearances or radio appearances. So, you know, the process, you know, just to touch on briefly, is, you know, that they, you know, we obviously have to put a biography together for, you know, them, and we send it out to the various publications. And if the publications are interested, then they will pick up the story, and, you know, you will feature either online or print or radio or TV. But the most important, to answer your question, is the story. It's that's
yes.
what it comes down to, and what makes you different. Because, you know, some people think, oh, you know, it's like you had to have come from an abusive background, or, you know, your mother was, you know, a drug addict or this or that. But, you know, it's not always the case. It's just, you know, it's like Gary was to tell you, most people that are driven and that become a success, you know, like in his case, he was bullied at school and got D's and F's and whatever. So his drive and his motivation
came from
that to get him where he is. So I'm not saying that having rich people coming from a wealthy family is a bad thing.
Well,
but
no, Richard Branson did.
People are, you know, become complacent or lazy, or they think they're going to just get the inheritance, or, you know, they're just going to inherit their family business. But, you know, it doesn't quite work like that.
Of course.
And, you know, so, you know, it just depends on how you were raised and what you, you know, and what you do with what you have. Really.
Yes, well, everyone has something different that drives them, and it can be completely different. I mean, with Richard Branson, his dyslexia kind of drove him to becoming the best that he could be, but he did come from a middle class background, and he had a great childhood. But then you've got people, like, as you said, who were abused or came from a tough background, and that drives them. But it can be different for everybody. But Karen, can you talk us through the different businesses that you're involved with? I know we touched on Talent Finders. Are you involved with other businesses as well at the moment?
Yeah, so basically at this point in time, you know, I have Talent Finders, and then, you know, I do the publicity and I brand build, and that's my business. I was contracted to someone who I won't mention their name, but I was contracted to someone last year, and then, you know, circumstances changed, and then basically I decided to go on my own. And then I had other people starting to come to me, and, you know, because they could see the results. And I think that that's the biggest thing for
me. Absolutely.
Because, it's about deliverables, and it's about, you know, giving people the best, you know, in terms of giving them exposure through the various mediums. So, you know, and people saw the work that I did and, you know, wanted the same things or came to me asking, can I, you know, can I get them into this publication or that publication? So obviously each client is kind of bespoke to what their needs and requirements are.
Okay.
And that's kind of how I work in terms of the branding. And then I obviously have the two nonprofits. So
that's fantastic. Yeah, it sounds like you're busy.
My plate. My plate's a bit full.
Karen, what piece of advice would you give to any entrepreneur who's starting off in their career?
Well, basically, you know, like I touched on earlier, I would say that you really have to be willing to put in the hours. You really have to be willing to sacrifice a lot. You have to be willing to sacrifice vacations. You have to be willing to sacrifice a lot. You really are going to take a lot of pain, and you have to be willing to deal with that, because not everyone's going to believe in your vision. Not everybody's going to see what you see, but it's the one thing I can tell you is that, you know, there's a couple of things. So the one is you really need to align yourself with the right level of people, and you know, just being around people that are going to build you up and lift you up and really, you know, help you along the way. Mentor, you know, find a mentor or a coach, you know, if that's what you need. But I think you really need to find that one person who just believes in you. You may end up, you know, having five or six, but I think the hardest thing, and it's also like Gary says, you often, you know, sometimes your family won't believe in what you're doing. Sometimes the people closest to you are the people that will not. You want them to be a support, but very often that's not the case.
I know.
And you just have to be willing to accept that. And it doesn't make, you know, look, everybody's relationships, dynamics are different. But I would definitely say that, you know, you have to be willing to take a lot of pain and
stick at it.
At the end of the day, I mean, it's the same. Like I you know, I had a tweet with conversation with one of Africa's youngest billionaires, and you know, I posed a question directly to him the other day, and he just said, Karen, you know, no matter what happens, you just never give up.
That's it.
And I mean, that's amazing, you know. And you have to find those people, because they know, they've been there.
A lot of people give up at the first hurdle, but as an entrepreneur, you're going to find hurdle after hurdle after hurdle. And I think that's the best message there that you just said, Karen. Never give up. Absolutely never, no matter what happens.
Absolutely.
And you're guaranteed to succeed.
And also the thing that you have to remember is that people very often will hear the story, you know, this guy became a billionaire and sold his company in Silicon Valley for X number of billions, hundreds of millions. But what people don't understand is that it could have taken 15 or 20 years
absolutely
to get to that point. So they just see the end story, but they don't see all the pain, all the heartache, the ups and downs that it took to get there.
It's like the saying goes, it took 25 years to become an overnight success, you know, and it's 100%. It's a true story. Well, Karen, thank you so much for giving us time out of your busy schedule today for the interview. And I have to say, I'm feeling quite inspired having spoken to you for the last half an hour. So hopefully we will speak to you again in the near future. And thank you kindly.
Thank you.
Thanks, Karen.
Bye.